You're listening to The Calling. Before we get started today, I think it's important that we acknowledge the tragic events occurring in Israel. From a biblical perspective, this gives us in America plenty to be cautious of as we provide support. I want to take a moment and begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with heavy hearts to lift our brothers and sisters in Israel as they are now engaged with an enemy that hides and preys on the weak. Comfort the families trying to figure out what to do next after the devastation and the grief with the loss. Provide them peace and reassurance of your presence as we pray the plea of protection for Israel as we recite the prophet Isaiah. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord. Amen. All right. Last time we were together, we continued to develop our fishing skills and reviewed the importance of knowing the bait and ways to help us learn and utilize God's word as we fish for men. I want to provide some clarity to my comments last episode regarding the hype. I was no way speaking negatively about your pastor or your church leader, nor was I disputing God's spiritual gifts and one's calling to be a teacher or a minister. I was simply pointing out that you have a responsibility as we fish for men to understand and share God's word. I hope that clears up any issues you may have had listening to us last time. Now that we know the importance of knowing the fish and knowing the bait, along with ways for us to implement these essential components to fish for men, we're going to transition into the natural reality of fishing for men and discuss what it feels like to lose a fish we're attempting to catch. When we started our journey together, we were called to be prepared to lose a fish. We agreed that not every bite means you're going to catch a fish and accepted there are going to be times when the fish you've hooked gets away. Jesus tells his disciples that the world will reject them and gives instructions to wipe the dust off their sandals from those who reject the message. Lord willing, we're going to explore scripture together this week to help prepare us for those lost fish as we set out on our fishing journey. As I've shared many, many times before, God has and continues to bless me far more than I ever deserve. He has also placed me in a position to teach, advocate, and help others who don't have the skills to do so for themselves. I'm frequently connected with people who need someone, anyone really, just a positive person in their life to help them feel supported, help them feel empowered. Because of God's strategic placement of me in their lives, I'm given the unique opportunity to minister and share the word of God through not only my knowledge of scripture, but through my actions. I remember as a young man, I was faced with this opportunity. I believe that the people I worked with should do as I say. After all, I'm a Christian. Listen to me. I was introduced to a 17-year-old years ago who was in state's custody, in and out of trouble. His parents were incarcerated, and he just couldn't seem to find the right track. I was able to successfully build a rapport with this young man by giving him an opportunity to play basketball and invited him to church. By the end of the season, I was excited to see how he would implement all the hard work I had dedicated to him all the times in church. And guess what? At the first chance, this young man returned to his family setting and was arrested within days. He didn't listen to me. I had a fish and he got away. I took this outcome personally. Why would he do that? All he had to do was just listen to the word. That's not what Jesus would do. Why wouldn't he just listen? And as a result, the fish I thought I had on the hook was free. I also remember when I was in the eighth grade, I was not a model student, very rarely completed my homework, most often was goofing off, and just to simply put it, not a good student. My academic standing was so poor that my eighth grade teacher pulled me out of class to say, "Derek, I want you to look around at all your classmates. They're college material. You are not." With me being me, I just shrugged my shoulders and moved on. Now, what about you guys? Have you ever worked with someone to teach them something only to have them disregard the lesson and go their separate way? Come on, parents. I know you can think of probably at least one example. As we allow our minds to recall these memories, we're going to shift our focus now to God's Word and invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Today, we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 7 and transition over to the book of Acts and even explore Luke. But before we do, let's review our foundations that we've been putting together over the last several months for this fishing development. Beginning in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Last time we added 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Today we're going to add Jeremiah to our foundation. And it is written in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 27, "When you tell them all of this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer." For those who don't know, Jeremiah is a prophet that, despite his hesitancy to be obedient, he was tasked with communicating to God's people that they were in the wrong and needed to return to God. Spoiler alert, they don't listen. And God knew this. People don't listen. It's plain and simple. From the garden to Samson, to the nation of Israel and Judah, to the sacrifice of Jesus, our history continues to be plagued by people who don't listen, which leads to sin and regret. Not listening is such a common characteristic of being human that we can all relate to it. But who's at fault? Is it my fault when my child doesn't listen to me? Is it my fault when you don't listen to the message delivered in my podcast? No, it's your fault because I know everything. I'm always right. Just ask my wife. She knows. Not quite. In fact, my sinful ways justify some people discrediting what I have to say. Truth be told, I don't always listen. So if listening is not the responsibility of the teacher, why then do we take it personal when people don't listen? Why do we become discouraged or defensive when people don't listen to our attempts to minister or educate or intervene? To show how we feel when people we are attempting to teach or minister to don't listen, we're going to examine Jeremiah's prayer in chapter 20. Now keep in mind, at this point, Jeremiah has been beaten and placed in stocks, something I'm sure you guys can all relate to, right? Being beaten and placed in stocks in the community to be mocked, all for sharing God's word. Not only the people not listening, but Jeremiah finds himself the victim of public humiliation despite being obedient and following God's specific instructions. The people do not listen. The fish continue to get away, and it wears down Jeremiah. So in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, it is written, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. When I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones." We're going to pause here for a second. Jeremiah is beaten and shackled and is now crying out to God for the current circumstances he finds himself in, all because he was sharing and communicating God's word. He is in a low place right now, and rightfully so. But he also comprehends, sure, I can stop communicating God's word, save face, save myself from this trouble, but why? Because if I stop sharing God's word, it's only going to burn within me until I submit. Man, it is my hope for all of us that, like Jeremiah, God's word burns within us, that compels us to share God's word regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the image we may have, because God's word is burning within us. Amen. Amen. You can read the entire prayer in Jeremiah chapter 20. It's verse 7 through 18. But before we get lost in Jeremiah, let us transition over to Acts. And we're going to begin in chapter 13 and study Paul's evangelism. Now, we've talked about this before. Paul is a great fisher of men. who is relentless. And we'll learn today he doesn't become distracted when he loses a fish. And for context, Paul and Barnabas had just left the synagogue on a good note. In fact, they were invited back. The Jews were supporting and persuading them to continue the grace of God. And we're going to read here in verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the entire city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they took the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this example, we see people become upset when the word of God is offered to everyone, which prompts some people to cry foul. One more reason for us to know what the word is, so you don't fall victim to poor teaching that communicates God's word, is for a segregated group. Hearing this and experiencing the resistance of the people not listening to God's word, Paul and Barnabas did not allow this encounter to discourage and have them quit. They did not allow the lost fish to distract them from their continued responsibility to keep fishing. In fact, they did what Jesus told them to do. They shook the dust off their feet as a warning and were filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And this is common. If we were to read through Acts starting around chapter 13, we would see this theme, the communication of the love of Christ and salvation through him for everyone. If they listen, great, let's start a church. But if they don't listen, if they make fun of us, attack us, discredit us, lock us up, attempt to make us feel stupid or inferior, we simply move on. We get on with the next person. And we do so in joy and in peace of knowing our God is with us. Our Lord and Savior walks with us. Amen. Amen. One last example, and we're going to explore Jesus' take on this situation here. Let's examine what happens when Jesus returns to his hometown. And to ensure we're all on the same page here, Scripture communicates that upon his return, Jesus' ministry has begun and the word about his work has started to spread. Now be mindful, word spreads slowly. There is no instant news at this time. So in other words, Jesus' ministry has been validated long enough that the entire region is now aware. Okay, so now we're going to start in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 16. It is written, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in that synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today is scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him, were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked. Jesus said to them, 'Surely you will quote this proverb to me, "Physician, heal yourself." And you will tell me, "Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Again, let's pause. Jesus was initially welcomed into his hometown, and one could suggest embraced by his return. Word had arrived around Jesus, and there was a sense of pride surrounding Nazareth when a local boy was making such an impact. We see that in our hometowns today. When someone from your area advances and makes a name for themselves outside of that area, we find joy in that. Jesus was respected enough that Scripture tells us he was allowed to not only speak during the Sabbath, but also read from the ancient scroll of Isaiah. And why is that significant? Because speaking in the synagogue was designated for a specific person. The chief ruler of the synagogue dictated the order and who would be providing the service. So in other words, Jesus was respected enough when he entered his hometown that he was given the honor of reading from the scroll on the Sabbath. Okay? It's a very important context to keep in mind. All right, let's pick up in verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill in which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen. Nazareth welcomed their infamous son back until he started to speak words that made them uncomfortable. Then they wanted to toss him off a cliff. Think about that. But what did Jesus do? Did he fight him? Right? Did he call this lightning steed? What did he do? Did he argue with them when these people brought him to a cliff? No. He walked through the crowd and went on his way. He didn't get upset for losing the fish in his hometown. He didn't smite anyone. He simply shook the dust from his sandals and walked away to continue his ministry that would not only fulfill God's law, but change the world forever. Sharing God's word is not something new. Okay, this isn't a concept created by the late church to grow congregations. It's not a new expectation placed on us today. God has been using people like yourself since the beginning of time. And that is why it is so important that we understand this road is long and the work is burdensome. And you're going to encounter people who hear the gospel from your lips and it changes their lives. But you're also going to encounter others who want to ridicule you, who want to challenge you, who want to embarrass you, who want to bring you down. And it is during these times we recall that foundation in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. In the examples today, one underlying theme exists. Were you able to identify what that theme is? Here it is. People will listen until you share something that makes them uncomfortable. Until you share something that makes them self-reflect. Everyone was embracing Jesus until he talked about being the Son of Man. Then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. I know you, son of Joseph. I remember you growing up, Derek. How dare you? Now it's an issue. Prophets like Jeremiah and the apostles like Paul and Jesus were tasked for sharing God's word as God commanded. They told people what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. This is where the resistance shows itself. Yeah, Derek, I remember you, you lying, hell-raising scoundrel. How dare you talk to me about salvation and forgiveness, much less sin, you hypocrite. I remember you. I knew what you did. I knew where you were from. It's moments like this where you're either going to change the heart of the person or shake the dust off your sandals and move on. Amen. Amen. My 8th grade English teacher's attempts at intervention was met with continued disregard for my academic standing, and I almost failed the 8th grade because of it. At the time, those words didn't matter to me. I shrugged them off. A few years later, I would recall the encounter and become angry about it. I remained a terrible student, but I also remember this encounter. My 8th grade English teacher said what he felt he needed to say. He didn't provide a platform for an argument. He didn't raise his voice. He was very matter of fact. That's the issue I see with evangelism today. We gravitate to those who we think and look like to protect us from the real life occurring out there, so that when we do encounter the resistance, we become defensive in ourselves and attempt to make our stance the right one. My 8th grade English teacher's attempt to catch a fish failed to make a difference that 8th grade year. It mattered very little 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Heck, I remained an academic failure through my undergraduate. But one thing about fishing for men that I have learned is that the lost fish seem to find their way to the net once they've had a nibble of the bait. Think about it. When a fish gets away, you don't jump into the lake and chase that fish down and argue with the fish on why they should eat the bait. That would just be ridiculous. Likewise, my 8th grade English teacher never addressed this again. He didn't follow up on me. He said what needed to be said and he moved on. Now, a kid who didn't belong in college has now graduated with honors with his master's degree and is currently finishing his PhD. Now think of this. The non-biblical words of a person can have impact years later. There was nothing biblical about what my 8th grade English teacher had to say. He wasn't giving me the words of Christ or salvation. It was simply, get your act together. Imagine the power the Word of God has if we're going to share it with somebody. When you're fishing for men, the fish are going to get away. People are going to disregard what we have to say. And as we move forward, we need to be prepared for losing a fish. So what do you do when a fish gets away? That's right. You cast the line and try again. Because the bait we use is eternal, and a spiritual growth is a lifelong experience. Oh, and by the way, that 17-year-old kid I referenced at the beginning, who found himself incarcerated, well, the word that I had shared he had picked up through going to church must have stuck, because he's now an active member of his church and he's a father and he's doing very well for himself. Amen? Amen. This week, as we continue to study for Fishing for Men, I hope you've started a devotional and designated a specific time for you to study God's Word. If you haven't yet, I want you to make God's Word a priority in your life and commit to this time right now. If not, I'm just going to have to continuously put this at the end of every podcast. I encourage you to finish Jeremiah's prayer this week as you meditate on his word. And you'll find this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 18. Read through Acts starting in chapter 13 and appreciate the apostles' examples of evangelism. If you continue to struggle to get to church because that's not your thing or you attend online, then I will continuously challenge you to try again. Continue to support the body of Christ with your presence and fellowship. Continue to study the bait so that when you encounter the fish, you are prepared for those conversations and those interactions. No longer allow fear of rejection or confrontation or offense to others distract you from spreading God's word. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for being so patient with us, for allowing us time and time again to find peace with you. Place your word on our heart like a fire shut up in our bones so that we have the joy of knowing you are with us as we share the same love that you have given us with others. Comfort us when we are nervous and anxious and give us your favor by showing us peace. Provide us the courage to fish for men as we recite Isaiah 55. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come listen. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon the nations you know not, and the nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked, for the sake of their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts, let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I set it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for the everlasting sign that will endure forever. Amen. God is calling you to be prepared to lose a fish. Will you answer?